RDN Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Good morning, Bahamas. Good yawning this morning. It is Wednesday, March the 31st, 2021, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. As you can tell, I have guests in studio with me today. My guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Thompson. Good morning.
Good morning.
And it is my pleasure to host this morning Dr. Jacinta Higgs from the Department of Gender and Family Affairs that sits in the Ministry of Social Services. As you can see, our civil servants never stop working. They're always on the clock. They're always on the call. And I know that because my mother was a civil servant. So I lived that life, right? And it's important for us ordinary people to understand the weight, the stress, the trauma that our civil servants go through running a country. And even when we think they're underperforming, even when we think that they're not giving us what they're worth, understand that they're dealing with both physical and psychological stresses all the time. Imagine how stressed you are as a parent maintaining a household and caring and looking out over your children. And then take that to another level, and you're a civil servant that understands your duty to the nation that you serve, right? That's like taking care of an entire nation. So we give them a blight, right? Every time they make us want to cry when we're standing on a long line. And we take the time to assess what's going on in the system that's frustrating us, as opposed to just pouring and heaping blame on people. So like I told y'all, I told y'all I was going to road traffic yesterday. What I didn't tell y'all is I had to license my car for several reasons. Because I spend the whole week talking about personal and collective responsibility in driving culture. So I had to make sure that I took every effort to license my car before the end of the month. The second thing is this. I was unaware of the COVID protocols in relation to licensing your car. And I wasn't sure whether the law had changed yet, right? Because you could, in the first part of the pandemic, you were allowed to drive with an expired license once your insurance was up to date. And so because I wasn't certain of the law, I look at my partner and I say, boy, look here, we gotta get up at the crack of dawn and get this done. Because I want us to do the right thing. And secondly, I don't want nobody calling my name on the radio talking about Erin. You was a hypocrite, eh? Look how you talk to the people bad and you can't follow the rules yourself. Right? So I want to say thank you to my partner that was up before me to make sure we got that done. Because it's a culture that I impress upon her and I impress upon other people, and I have to live up to that standard. And we all, right, got to figure out how we could put in a little bit of extra effort to live up to the standards that we set for ourselves, that our forefathers and our ancestors set for us, and the expectations that the young people and the vulnerable people around us have. I give you an example. I want to say a special shout out to the man in the red car on the line at road traffic this morning that got frustrated because the vehicle in front of him, the driver fell asleep. And he's blowing our horn, trying to wake that guy up, and he would not wake up. And somebody politely and very nicely got out their car to go wake him up so he could move forward. But the person in the red car decided to overtake and jump the line. And I want to say a special good morning to you, because whatever you had to do must be extra special to risk getting row by all them people on the road traffic line. Sometimes you just got to put in a little extra effort, you know, to deal with the frustration of somebody who's not doing the right thing. Just that's all we need. And if we all put in a little bit, like 5% extra effort in what we're doing, we would see a tremendous shift in this town. Trust me, guys, I believe that. And you know who believe that? These young boy them, these young guys and these young girls, they believe that too.
Sure
if
do.
We put in an extra 5% effort, we could make this thing work. Anyway, don't mind me. I am excited because it's a long weekend coming up, people. You know, Bahamians love long weekends. And before I get the show started, let me just tell you all this. Get your weekend plans in order. It is an Easter holiday weekend. That means one thing for certain. It will rain. You don't know if you're going to have fried fish. You don't know if you're going to have roast lamb with rosemary. But you know it will rain. So plan your activities accordingly. Anyway, that was just a little joke we had. And the second way you know it'll rain on a holiday weekend is if the Prime Minister has an address and he says, my fellow Bahamians and residents, trust me, it will rain on your holiday. Don't even try to have a party. The Honorable Mr. Minnis have a deal with somebody and he know how to make the orders work. If you think you have a holiday party, it will rain. 2020, 2021. It's been a new dispensation. I just find that funny because every single holiday it rains. But anyway, let me get to my show. This is informally International Women's Month. And today, the 31st, marks the end of that month. And there's been a lot of things going on globally, in the Caribbean region, but in particular in the Bahamas. There have been a lot of events, including an event that's going on today, which my guest, Dr. Jacinta Higgs, will discuss with us as we go through the show. So it's my pleasure to end the month by discussing the events that have been going on and the status of women in the country. Good morning, Dr. Higgs. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Erin. Good morning, Bahamas and Thompson. God bless you all. It's a beauty to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. So my first question is, well, this, you work at the Department of Gender and Family Affairs. What do you do there?
So, Erin, I'm the director of that department.
Yes, ma'am.
My responsibilities are oversight in terms of administrative capacities,
yes,
working again with budget, working with programs, projects, policies. For me, I recognize that for me as a teacher, I go to wherever you have to be evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I go.
Yes.
So sometimes there are needs, there are all kinds of needs, right?
Yeah.
But if there is a mandatory evaluation at the end of a period, I go to that evaluation document. So for me, I study the test.
Right.
Okay. And so then I look at what the questions are in the test,
mm-hmm.
and then I check, I write a checklist, a plan of action from there going backward
okay.
to the beginning. And so therefore, since we have to report to the United Nations, I went there.
The okay.
country has to report. Erin, every department, every ministry has to report. And my role then is to look and see how what it is that's been asked of me in that department and then what programs, policies, projects, et cetera, I need to do. And so that's for me specifically as a director. And I have found the Sustainable Development Goals is the hottest thing out there now.
Mm-hmm.
Some persons don't know about it. And again, our department in terms of public education from K through university and then general public awareness, we must go out there and push the Sustainable Development Goal. Push is sometimes not an acceptable word by this, but to make you aware.
Right.
Because it is for you. It,
right.
it is for every single Bahamian will benefit from the SDGs.
And what I get in that distinction, right, when you make us stop and assess what we mean by push, right, we are promoting
yes,
the
ma'am.
Goals.
Yes, ma'am.
We are creating a space where people can interrogate the goals and yes. understand yes. what they are. Mm-hmm. And then we are also creating a space where people can decide how they want to approach the goals
yes.
and then partner with various ministries
that is correct.
To propose how we approach these goals,
God
which gives the citizen a greater degree of agency.
And ownership, yes, ma'am. Celebratory understanding of it. Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
So, Erin, thank you for what you just outlined. And it goes right back to what you said earlier, because I was in awe of a simple sentence you said. You said, if every one of us, and Erin, you said do 5%, because even 5% really is really minuscule. But, Erin, if we do 0.1%, Erin, I kid you not, and I want to come to that because that's what you're saying. That's what we are doing this week.
Mm-hmm.
If each one of us, Erin, do a little, Erin, we will see how this government and any administration will turn around. We will see how the people then, it's a gear. It's a, like they say, it's a three-digit gear. and each one have to move in tandem with the next one.
Yes.
And that's important. And so, Erin, for me, I am in government, but Erin, I've already been in public, private life. Mm-hmm. I still am in private life as an owner of a business. Erin, I've just now touched NGOs, civil society, and Erin, my life really changed in terms of where my new investment will go.
Absolutely.
Right. Yes.
Because one of the questions I want to ask about is, what are some of the projects the department works on, but more importantly, who are the NGOs that you partner with to support that work, or who do you partner with to support their work?
Mm-hmm. So, Erin, I'm going to answer you based on what happened to me for the past 2.5 years. As a matter of fact, several months. I have 3 more months within this contract, right?
Okay.
3-year contract. And, Erin, the first thing I had to do was to go to Geneva. Erin, 3 months in,
mm-hmm.
I had to be prepared to go to Geneva to account for the Bahamas' record of how we have treated women.
Mm-hmm. And I went 2 years ago, and I still nervous.
You with us? Yes, Erin, you were there.
Nervous.
That's right, Erin. Oh, my God. Yes, Erin. Erin, you were civil. I was really proud. So let me just finish that. So, Erin, you were there, and other members of civil society were there, and it was so powerful to see the synergistic, meaning working together. Even though you're government, we were government, and we were sitting up on the, it was almost like a court, everyone who's listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were being interrogated. And yeah. I know that's not a good word to say, right? They call it a constructive dialogue. But see, me, I'm from Fox Hill. I know what interrogation means.
Yeah. And I was one of the people interrogating.
Yes.
Right?
You were.
I was there interrogating.
Of course.
And when we talk about the synergy, right? If you, when you're there, and I come there to not fight my government, you know, but
right,
to have a constructive dialogue with them about things.
Yes.
But when you're in that space, no matter how hard you try to separate yourself from the government that you come to interrogate, there is this sense that there's no complete separation. Because we're all in this thing together.
We had to all come back on the same plane, meaning, you know, figuratively, come back home to work to make it work.
Right. And so there's a sort of separation between grassroots advocacy and advocacy at that high level, right?
Yes.
That high level. It's great if people can experience both, because then you realize that they both are the same. That no matter what the issue is that you're interrogating, the baseline is that there is no way that we can be separated by this issue.
Exactly.
Right? And that's the foundation of human rights work, is that we have to heal because there's nothing that can separate us. Right? And so
I want to use a metaphor.
Yes, ma'am.
It's like a body. You have diabetes, and your little toe, it's the little left toe, Erin, that really begins to agitate. For some people, it literally gets cut off eventually, gangrene, and then it begins to affect the body, then get amputation of the leg. So, Erin, it's like that. The government, yes, may be the head. They call it heads of government, the States Party when you go, right? And the government is reporting. It has the mouth, it has the head, the brain, everything, it has the documents and present. But the foot, that little toe, the grassroots organization, the NGO, there were about 3 or 4 NGOs represented. I am telling you, and I'm saying this now, and I did say it to the people there. Mm-hmm. I was so proud of those NGOs. Now, I was government.
Yeah.
The NGOs wrote what you call shadow reports. I didn't like the word shadow. And just so you know now, Erin, they're calling it parallel reports.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow is clandestine. It's not like you're doing something onto your government shadow. No. The reports what the ladies wrote, it was, and I want to call Alicia Wallace Nemo because she is so phenomenal
in
so many ways. Brilliant.
In the gap over the last almost 10 years.
And see, I didn't know that because I just met her. You see, through the job, but they were there. So civil society, and she gave a report. It's a parallel report of some of the things. And so what she did, I have to use Alicia's report and go check through and see what I need to do.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's what we do at the Department of Gender.
And that's how civil society can support government work and government's agenda.
Yeah.
Even when you feel that you're working at odds with each other or you have a conflicting position, the work that you're doing helps the government inform itself and its partners, right? And so ultimately, even if I'm mad at you, I'm going to share this information with you because it helps other people. It helps you to enhance and support your agenda.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, helping people
It's the goal. Mm-hmm. And Erin, in talking about being at odds with, so I am a supporter of the FNM.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my essence nor my identity, because I go to Afrocentric and I go to Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I go to Fox Hill, that African roots. Mm-hmm. I said that to say to you, so in my job, right now, Honorable Glenys Hannah Martin will be presenting today.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go to her.
Right.
She's one of the longest serving. She's the second. She said, Dr. Higgs, I'm the second after Janet Boswick. But if God willing, what happens in this term, then she will get that record.
Yeah.
I had to go to the gurus. Oh, my God, Erin, I'm not speaking. I had to go to Cynthia Mother Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I had to go to Atalia Johnson. So I had to go to Arinthia Komalefe. I had to.
Yeah.
And Ali McIntosh just presented the other day at this Bahamas Conclave. So what you were saying, even if it seems at odds, see, for me, I am afraid of God to then guide me with regards to my role. I am afraid of God more than man. I always was. Even when I ran under the one of the greatest, strongest leaders in this country, I was not afraid of him. I was afraid of God more than man, because God could take your sleep. Man, I could take some things from you. And Erin, I live simple, so I don't mind.
Yes.
So I'm saying that to say, at this Bahamas Conclave, Erin, I had to bring in everybody.
Yeah.
And this is the first time, it's historic,
mm-hmm.
the inaugural Bahamas CSW Conclave. Erin, every family island, we found a representative.
Awesome.
Now, some of them didn't get their videos in time, because we have to do a webinar on how to do simple homemade videos.
Right, and then the understanding that the advocacy changes in a country with an archipelagic exterior,
that
right?
That is correct.
People say, Erin, why you use that big word? Because that's what the people who fund our programs need to hear,
yeah,
exactly.
to understand that,
why we need the money. Yes.
That although the program is centered in New Providence,
yes.
the communications budget needs to be tripled.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
To take into account the technological needs to ensure that every single person has equal and equitable access to the
exactly.
table.
Exactly.
Right?
Beautiful.
And that so that informs the policy, informs how we write grants,
mm-hmm.
and it creates a culture of visibility. Like you said, when they renamed the report from the shadow report to the parallel report,
yes.
that was an intentional move to shift from this idea that civil society and governments are at odds with each other,
mm-hmm.
and that the civil society is in the shadow of the big government, and it literally creates a new culture with the language, right? And in the same way, now funders understand, no, these people who live out here, they're not vacationing, they're not enjoying a resort life. They need the support,
yes.
the technical support, yes. even though we're the sixth highest cost of living, you know?
Yes.
We rank high.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Erin, even our gross domestic product, it's a mistake. It's an error. Because they would have included persons who have come from other parts of the country,
mm-hmm.
work in the banking industry
mm-hmm.
and in tourism, and who would make maybe $1 million compared to someone who's making below minimum wage. So when they added, they had to put all of it together.
Exactly.
Then they divided, and it looks as if we're coming up with $14,000
right,
or $17,000 per purse per average
right,
yeah.
right.
per year. That is not true. It's not true.
And you know, doctor, that's dangerous. I used to work for an organization, the International Organization for Migration, and actually we had to close office because of a lack of funding. And not because of a lack of projects, but because of a lack of belief that these projects would do anything meaningful.
And a lack of understanding of what is actually required technically, resource-wise, and financially
right.
to deliver said programs.
Project. Exactly.
And so you're here as a director of Department and Gender Affairs, Dr. Higgs, but I want to talk to you about how in your third or fourth life you're going to be teaching policy and policy creation, right? And the soft skills that we need to bring
exactly.
in to that space to understand the potential of policy creation.
So Erin, thank you very much for that segue. I want to share with you, and this is important, I don't like freebies. I've always worked. I've always given. Even though I was always in government, my children were eligible for scholarships. I never got it because I said my husband and I could afford to pay our children.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that to say I want to give back at a now national greater level. For the past 2.5 years, I have traveled the world
mm-hmm.
on the Bahamas government money, but more importantly, and just on the fringe, person sent tickets for us.
Wow.
Yeah, so Morocco, one of the last travels we would have gone is to Morocco to meet His Excellency and their High Royal Highness, fully paid, fully all the top hotels, full everything paid. And then even we went, PAL Americas will pay for us, Canada will pay for us, these European countries. European Union just gave $800 million. I just came off a call 2 days ago where they're discussing $800 million that was given just for the Caribbean and Latin America. And our NGOs need to be in compliance. See, that's why I'm saying I want to help the NGOs because sometimes they're not going to give it to government. Now, they'll give us the tickets for us to come to the meetings to make the decisions. When it comes for the projects, they want to work with the NGOs. IDB, and I'm not going to say what it is, but IDB just gave my department's budget.
And so...
Man, I don't know if you're... I'm talking in parables now.
I
said, IDB, okay, doctors, how do we do that? I say, NGOs. Here are the NGOs that have been approved, that have been in compliance, and that have projects and proposals. Man, please, IDB.
And so, listen, last week I had on members of Civil Society Bahamas to talk about what an organization like that does and how it can support NGOs and, in particular, smaller bodies to... come in compliance with the new Nonprofit Organization Act to become a member of CSB so that they can get things like what we call ECHO-SOC accreditation.
Yes.
And what that means, you need that to be able to participate at UN level,
right?
And so when you get a sense of how much funding is available or is out possibly available, then you understand why we need more, not just one CSB, but we need multiple umbrella organizations to create structures and to help people navigate this space where all of the resources are.
And we're not competing.
Right.
And you're not competing. It's collaborative.
Right.
They say collaborate or die. You understand what I'm saying? Even they say go big or go home, but you have to come together or go home or go by yourself. Because yes. And so therefore, I love how you said that. I want to say that CSB, that's the Civil Society Bahamas, Dr. Anthony Hamilton, every month they have a meeting with the Attorney General. Mm-hmm. And that's when I say, God, I give you thanks. What do I mean? Government, so government, please, as you government leaders, as you listen to me, I am in greatest respect of you. Mm-hmm. I served as a parliamentarian. All right, so I've seen that level. I've seen private. I've seen how I struggle with my business and still holding on because I want to do well by thousands of children in Fox Hill and then by the greater community of New Providence. Even Family Island students have now come to the school. Mm-hmm. And then I'm now in government in this seat where I see budgets and I see things, how they're done.
Right, right.
And I'm saying that we need to do more. I'm saying to the Honorable Prime Minister, I'm saying to Honorable Philip Davis, as both of their wives have been powerful in the woman leadership here in this country.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, you know, I call her First Lady Patricia Minnis, formed an office. She's now the head of SCLAN, the chair of all the Caribbean. That's critical.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
In terms of maneuvering, in terms of access,
and shifting the culture of appreciation for the work that government agencies do and the particular portfolios that they take on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Davis, Mrs. Philip Davis' wife, she's there every step of the way with us as well. And that is critical. And I love that because we have both. We have Ali McIntosh every step of the way, Arinthia Komalefi every step of the way. Now, Pakisha Parker, she says she's coming in with us to meet with she wants to meet with them because you want to know the voice. On the 16th of April, will be International Voice Day.
Okay.
And so we want to roll out some things with CSOs, CBOs, FBOs, the civil society.
That's faith-based organizations and community-based organizations. Because a lot of, because we talk about the UN, a lot of people who think, well, that ain't my organization. Ain't what I do. But no, all of these types of organizations. In fact, tomorrow my guest has a club called the Awari Club, which is a youth club for games, right? And even that type of social outreach, not necessarily charity,
right?
Not necessarily programmatic, but even that type of organization can qualify, right? And I mean,
because they reduce violence.
Right, exactly.
Because they guide socialization. Because they have a wholesome place for children. They reduce violence against children because they're in a guided space. They're teaching because it elevates the community and it elevates people. So anything. I want to go back to the UN because you mentioned it. So I know people, they tell me when I go on the radio shows, they will talk stink about the UN. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They say the UN is a conspiracy, it's a syndicate, it's the mafia. And I don't worry about that. I look at the manifestations of where I come in.
Right.
The Sustainable Development Goals. Yeah. I studied every one of the UN documents as it pertains to my department. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them says, look out for the motherless. Look mm-hmm. out for the widows. Exactly. Look out for the elderly. Look out for persons with disability. Look out for the homeless. Look out for those who are poor.
Right.
Look out
right.
for those who are living in family islands. They tell us. Mm-hmm. So therefore, when I do my report, I can't. That's why I had to include those family
very,
islands.
Very
so I want to tell you, if it is not for those UN documents, some many more people would be marginalized.
Wow.
Many more voices would be shut down or not heard.
Right.
So the UN gives us a mandate, and we can't go back, because then civil society will be right there in
right.
our face mm-hmm. to tell the UN, UN, they ain't telling the truth. UN, they ain't do all of that. Or UN, they did that, but it ain't have that effect,
yes,
what they say.
Yes, yes.
And so therefore, civil society keeps me honest.
Right.
right.
Not
right.
my minister.
Exactly.
So when I work 24/7 like your mother did, and mm-hmm. I work with her, Mrs. Green, she helps us with one a key document that we wish to bring out, mm-hmm. a gender-based violence bill. When I work with them, civil society keeps me honest.
Right. Right, right.
Do you understand? Because government has a certain way that they need to deal.
Yes.
And so I'm very thankful for the partnerships, which is Sustainable Development Goal number 17.
Absolutely.
Yes,
all right. So
yes.
so people listening, please look up SDGs. Just look it up. If you have a phone, you say, hey, Google, what are the SDGs? You need to know, because I'm telling you, your government will have to report. And, mm-hmm. and no government mm-hmm. should send a report over there. Mm-hmm. Without it being released
right.
to the people.
And I'm going to say to the people who are like, I'm just opposed to the SDGs, take a look at what the issues are they attempt to
right.
address
yes.
and
right.
the problems they attempt to solve, yes. right?
Right.
And you find a common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
One of the goals is eradicating poverty.
That is
exactly.
correct.
It don't
exactly.
matter. Look here,
yes.
me, I could
yes.
be Batman and Lex Luthor.
My
exactly.
God.
Right?
My
we could
exactly.
be... We are both about eradicating poverty,
poverty yes,
but we're working together right
yes,
now.
Yes,
exactly.
yes, yes, yes.
Right?
Exactly. Reducing hunger.
Right. And what you're trying to do is to find the tools that are available or that you have access to
mm-hmm.
to help you help the people.
Yes.
That, right? And that's what it is. Like
right.
sometimes we, as an advocate, you got to put personal principle aside
mm-hmm.
to ensure
mm-hmm.
that you're doing the best
the
that you can
good.
Do.
Yes,
right.
ma'am.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And these are the balances that we
yes.
have to find.
Yes. The yeah. greater good. So watch us now, because I'll never forget Chivago Lang did it on his show.
Mm-hmm.
Ready, people? I don't have all of them down pat, and they may not be in order. But SDG, Sustainable Development Goal, meaning for the next 20 years, next 10, 20 years, every government in the world, over 200 countries, should be doing this. Reducing poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are experiencing poverty, they're supposed to get some grants for you. That's why they said a little $5,000 grant just to get the little place and start on the street. They're supposed to do things for you.
Exactly.
Then no more hunger. You should not be, no one in this country should be walking around in hunger.
Exactly.
You're supposed to be able to drive straight up to a place, get your package every week or whatever, or they ask them, please deliver it to me. That is what is due to you as a citizen
exactly.
of any country. I'm
it's
just letting you know.
Right.
It's your human right.
right.
It's your basic human right.
Mm-hmm.
You should be having quality education. And that's why when you see Honorable Lloyd came out with that $2,000 per child kindergarten, that ain't him. That coming from universal education, from SDGs, which
right.
is beautiful.
Right.
Now,
he
enacting it, which is
yes.
powerful.
Yeah.
But $2,000 for every child in this country who is 3 to 4 years old, every child, so that their mother could now have access to go to work, because that child has $2,000 voucher to go to school.
Right.
That's where that's coming from. Then you want, in terms of health, come on, man, we have the highest breast cancer. So where is the information? Where are the services?
Mm-hmm.
I am goal number 5. Our department alone just dealing with goal number 5, which
exactly.
is gender equality.
Exactly.
Come on, man. We are saying by now, 2020, they'd said 30% women should have been in parliament. And they are saying equity. See, equality is one, but equity
mm-hmm.
is another. Put the quota in there so they make them get in there. So
yeah.
I'm saying that to say there are... What about the ocean? That's another one. What about the land? That's another one. What about persons with disability and inequalities? That's another one. Partnerships is another one. Justice, access to justice. So these are all things for you, the Bahamian people.
Absolutely. Dr. Higgs, I see we got a caller on the line. Kermit, can we go to this call? Hey, caller, you're on the clock. My guest today is Dr.
Aaron,
DeSinti.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, and good morning to your guest in the studio. Is that the doctor speaking, Aaron?
That is Dr. Jacinta Higgs, sir.
Okay, Dr. Jacinta Higgs, you actually forced me to call in. walking around in the food store, and I'm listening. I was listening for quite some time.
Yes, sir.
But when you spoke about the person that you are and that you fear God and God alone and not man, and you would have served under one of the strongest leaders in our country, perhaps in our region, and I completely support that sentiment. I was totally impressed with you. And listening to you now speak about the SDGs and teaching Bohemians what they're entitled to, and straightening out the reality and the facts from the narratives, no matter the government and no matter what they present.
Yes,
I'm highly impressed, and I greatly appreciate what you are doing in this public forum. And I want to continue, I want to encourage you to continue to do the good work on behalf of the Bohemian people. Thank you very much, Erin.
Thank you.
God bless you,
thank
sir.
You
thank
very
you
much.
Very much. Thank you.
And, you know, and a part of the show is to highlight voices that don't necessarily find the airwaves or to have conversations they don't necessarily have.
Yes.
And like so, like I said, when we had the conversation with CSB, we were sort of focused on women's organizations and the support that they give. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I want to emphasize that point to people who have an idea or have a passion to do something to help. There is infrastructure out there. There are groups that exist that can help you even articulate your idea. Like, you may not even know what you can do yet.
Yes.
There's people and there are groups out there can help you articulate your vision,
exactly.
Help you to create a structure to forward your goal and to succeed, right? And that's why I wanted to have this conversation as well, because I'm a very heavy critique of politics and politicians, and I want us to focus on governance and governance mechanisms.
Right, right.
And I see how important the Department of Gender Affairs,
mm-hmm.
Gender and Family Affairs is. So let's sort of segue to there. Why the switch? If you didn't know, before the department, there was the Bureau of Women's Affairs. And then there was a switch. And so there are two important things to know. The name and the focus was changed to Gender and Family Affairs. And it became a department. Now, the important thing about a department is bigger than a bureau,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
That's like little cousin and big cousin.
Yes.
And so a department signifies that you're doing more and you have greater weight. And so I want to ask you about that switch, but I got a caller on the line. Let's get to that caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
I'm good. And good morning, you guys. How are you doing, ma'am?
God bless you, sir. I'm well.
Good. This is JJ. I'm not the first time I ever will agree with Anton. He made a lot of sense a while ago. See, and you are the people that we need in Parliament. You know what I mean? And see, yeah, that's why. See, nothing happened before time. See, the Moses Cooten case. And I just call the show just about every other day. And the real behemoth, the 1972 behemoth, will take this country over in 2027. All the Moses Cool will be wiped off the face of our parliamentarians. See, they sit back there, they try to fix nothing. They were greedy, they want the land, grabbing and worrying, and all that kind of business. But my safety orders are on the right track, and that's why I keep telling you, clean hand, behemoth. We might have a woman prime minister in 2027. You see,
oh, yeah.
The thing is, like you were saying, right, the education and the 2,000 grand, that's so important to me. See, I'm a being in the CDA, they watch people.
My
you
God.
Know, the Bahamas is a rich country.
My God.
But me and people run this country.
Jeez.
Greedy set of people getting all the benefits. It's not right, man. And thanks, my God.
Yes, sir.
God bless you,
well,
sir.
That point you made, I don't think it's greedy people. Right? I think it's systems.
Mm-hmm.
That we have a system mm-hmm. and a culture developing that suggests to young people in particular
mm-hmm.
that your duty to yourself and your children, right, and your family, is to take care of you and you alone first,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
This all, I'm only 45, right?
No,
but I came in into my consciousness with this idea of the,
operator.
Oh, Kermit, can you, thank you, the all for me baby era, right? I grew up in a culture of love is like a magic penny,
Jesus.
Right? Ideas are like a magic penny. If you hold
mm-hmm.
them tight, you won't have any.
You won't. Yeah, exactly.
But young people, you know, we have developed a system that literally tells young people,
Jesus.
You got to take care of you and you alone
boy,
to survive.
Boy, Erin, you don't know how relevant that is right now, being a young man with a family. That's all I hear. You got to worry about you and your family. You can't worry about other people. You advocating for this, you advocating for that. Dr. Higgs, what would you, in your experience, say to a young advocate that experiences these, and I would label it discouraging, from family, from friends, from associates, where they say, don't focus on helping people, focus on yourself. What would you say as something encouraging, something that can show the progress of many other young advocates that have worked for it? And how can we get to the point where, as a society, we accept that young people don't accept foolishness anymore? And we are going to fight for things that are right.
So I'm going to answer a string of questions, if I may, please.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Number one, I want to start by saying, I'm going to start with this, and I'm coming back to it. Last night, my son, my one son, is in the United States. And he called. And I was sharing with him about the Bahamas Conclave and us advocating for women. And then he said, Mommy, I like what you're doing. He said, but Mommy, for God's sake, don't do the man. Don't bash the man. So yes. I coming back, because that's a part of what you're asking. I'm coming back to you.
Yes.
I want to go to Aaron's point again. Just for the department, in 1995,
sure.
The women got together and they had the first World Conference, 1975,
mm-hmm.
First World Conference. And as a result of that, they said, man, look here, the women are being disproportionately unrepresented. So can we please call a desk?
Right.
Have a desk in every country, just specific to women,
yeah.
And then it's the women's desk. So in 1981, the Bahamas government did the women's desk. In Jamaica, they did it even a little earlier than us.
Okay.
We are slow, but we are steady coming along. Then in 1995, the women got together again. This
right.
When Hillary Clinton said, women's rights are human rights and human rights are women's rights.
Right.
Then in 1995, we moved from the women's desk and we mm-hmm. elevated a little bit more. Imana, desk? You know what a desk really, if you just think of a desk, that don't look metaphorically correct.
Right. Right.
All right? And so then they go into a bureau. They say, okay, yeah. A bureau of women's affairs, many desks and many different things.
And many drawers.
And, many drawers.
Yes.
Many drawers. Many compartments.
Right.
Yes.
To put in.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
So look at, think of the name and the metaphor. Now, then in 2015,
yes.
They see that some governments don't mean no harm, but they need help from the United Nations to say how to take care of your people.
Right, right.
So they're saying, man, come on, man. Let us now go to a department. Give this desk that was elevated to a bureau a budget.
Exactly.
And the government, at that time, there's a line item
mm-hmm.
in the Bahamas government budget for the Department of Gender and Family Affairs.
Wow.
Now, something happened. Someone don't know the history of that, and they moved that.
Wow. Okay.
It was moved and then scattered mm-hmm. into about 7-8 different accounts. I'm not saying anything. You know, I shared
yeah,
one
yeah.
or two, but they understand it.
Yeah,
but that shouldn't have happened. There should have been
right.
a line item, and really and truly, about $2 million should have been in there, but it's not. It's nowhere near that. I just wanted to share that with Aaron. So it moved. Now, gender
okay.
was to take care of all of those rights.
Right.
Sure.
So we're going to go to a break.
Yes.
Caller, hold the line. That, look here, that point is so important.
It is.
A line item in the budget is a signal
yes.
indicator
yes.
of importance.
The critical. Yes, ma'am.
So listen, guys, we're going to go to this break. This is a great conversation. You're listening to 96.9 FM. Caller, hold the line. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Dr. Dane Bo, orthopedic surgeon and currently chairman of the Bahamas Medical Council. Here are the facts about the AstraZeneca vaccine. Tens of thousands of people participated in the stage 3 clinical trials, and there were no instances of serious illness or death attributed to the vaccine. That safety record has held steady as the vaccine has been rolled out to millions of people around the world. The AstraZeneca vaccine is cost-effective to purchase, and since it does not require ultra-cold storage like other popular vaccines, it is easier to ship and store, making it a popular choice for many countries around the world, including the Bahamas. It is projected that over 200 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine will be produced per month as production ramps up to save even more lives, establishing it as one of the leading COVID-19 vaccines. To learn more about the COVID-19 vaccines, kindly visit us at opm.gov.bs/vaccine.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Good morning, Bahamas. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. If you're just tuning in, my guest today, Mr. Darwin Thompson, young human rights advocate. He's my guest co-host. And my guest is director of the Department of Gender and Family Affairs, Dr. Jacinta Higgs. If you want to join the conversation, you can text us at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That line is powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. And if you have to move away from your radio, you can stream live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com, or you can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. And you can even download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Dr. Higgs, that point you made, do you want to continue before we go to this caller?
Go to
the caller. Okay, let's go to the caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hi, Erin and your guest, Dr. Jacinta Higgs. How are you, ma'am?
God bless you. I'm well, thank you.
That's good. This is Berenice Johnson. When I first met you, you were gracious and kind. I hope that you still are.
Well, she ain't bring, look here, she ain't bring no dilly in the studio, and she from Fox Hill, Berenice, and she ain't bring
well,
no
dilly.
Well,
I want her to bear with me, because I have 2 points that is very concerning to
yes, ma'am.
Nationhood.
Yes, ma'am.
My debit card, I have been spun around. I am supposed to be FNM. I don't put politics in it. Until now, I am living below the poverty level. I was expecting...
You still there? Oh, it seems we lost that call. I'm sorry, Berenice. I got another caller on the clock. Caller, you're live. I'm sorry, caller. I'm sorry we lost you, Berenice. Maybe you want to send in a text if the phone line is acting up. Remember, the text line is 422-4796. I've got some texts here. What role do trade unions play in gender affairs and NGOs? Well, a union isn't really a NGO in that sense, but as an advocate, I'm always interrogating where I can join with unions, where I can find support with unions, and what issues unions are working on where we can possibly work together. Yes. What I found as an advocate is the global or the international union advocacy space is vibrant and often on the cutting edge of issues that I wasn't even aware of.
Now remember, there are only four. As a matter of fact, we only teach three distinct entities with regards to governance of a country. And then they also call the fourth estate. So let me go. One, if you are employed by the governor general, if you got a letter saying you're employed by the governor general or you're in government, that's one. That's where you are at this point. And you can be in different spaces. Number two, either you have a business and you are private and you're making profit. That's the private sector. Number three, then it's civil society. Unions fall strong under civil society, the rights of people. Within civil society, just like how within government, you have departments and divisions and ministries. Under civil society Bahamas, you have unions, you have universities and education, you have NPOs, church-based organizations. So all of them fit under civil society Bahamas. And then the fourth estate is media.
Look, okay, I thought unions is a thing on their own, because unions drove the labor. I mean, for a long time, the unions and the labor movement were the center of human rights advocacy in the country. And they drove, and really, they're the people who created the space for advocates like myself and Darwin.
That is right.
And the work we do now. I see we got another caller on the line. Kermit, we ready to go to that call? Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You there? Oh, I'm sorry we missed you, caller.
I just wanted to go back to the question with the men.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, so please, I have a husband of 33 years. I know him since I was 17, so let's say 37 years.
Yes.
I want to say that I have one son. He's just like you, your age. I just poked him last night. Jacinta Higgs is not advocating for women to take over any country. I will never do that.
Right.
I am using the principle in the wise book, Judges. Mm-hmm. Deborah was a wise governess. You're talking about governess. That's what you asked me for.
Mm-hmm.
Then she called Barack a man. They were experiencing challenges in that country. The people scream out. The people say, we need help. Right. So she then summons him to say, go and annihilate the enemies and let's bring us back to a normalcy, to fruition, to fulfillment.
Yeah.
Barack told her, I am not going unless you go with me. I need your guidance, woman, next to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
As God,
yes.
God, there are certain gifts that God will speak through you that he's not going to tell me.
Right.
And together they went and annihilated the enemy. When you see them hitting you with regards to trying to get rich quick, I just told my son, one son last night, honey, I'm not into you getting rich quick. I want you to recognize human rights,
right,
justice, the old landmarks. Do it right, Christopher.
Correct.
Go right, Christopher. Your name is Christopher. Harassed to bear Christ.
Exactly.
Huh? And so therefore, do the right thing. Don't worry about people. Please don't sell your one soul, because I am telling you, many persons will punish because they're sitting in seats. They're supposed to do right by the people who travail in.
Exactly.
And people are there praying. Their roofs get holes in it. Every time it rained, I want some rain for my mango and dilly tree, what you talking about? And every time he might say, oh, Lord, it ain't rain. But then I say, oh, Lord, honey, but if it rained,
right.
There's so many people trying to get buckets to try hold the rain. So I'm telling you, do what is right, young man. That's what I'm only telling. And see, I live simple. Certain things, I notice me, very simple.
Yes.
Very
yes.
frugal.
Yes.
Very wise.
Yes.
And I am telling you that my business
I love that.
Is now merged with my NPO to
yes.
the point where I've given over $300,000 BS scholarship. All my profit. For me and my family, and I tell my family, you all continue to live small,
yes.
because I'm one with the prophet. I need to help more people. So
that.
Do what is right.
You know, their ethics
I
are on the cutting
that.
Edge of capitalism, right? Their ethics.
Yeah,
you may not
yeah.
see it, but they're
right.
there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock. Kermit, there we go. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning. I am missing you, caller.
Hello, good morning. How can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes. Good morning.
Beloved Erin Green, the one and only.
Thank you. Good morning, beloved.
This and to esteem your esteemed guest.
Yes,
the
ma'am. I'm sorry we lost her, Kermit. Let's go to the next call. Caller, you're on the clock. Caller, you there? Well, I'm so sorry, callers, about the phone line. If you're calling from a cell phone, don't waste up all your money. Send a text. If you're calling from a landline, keep calling back, please.
Yes.
I've got a text here. It's a bit of a controversial one. It says, if women's rights are human rights, then by that logic, men's rights are human rights. Why isn't there a Department of Men's Rights with funding?
And beautiful. So, we have, so you asked about the Department of Gender, and I didn't get to finish that.
Yeah.
So the department had to be given, so desk was one thing, just activities, initiatives, observances. Then the bureau, okay, let's try, begin to now do some programs and start get some policies out there.
Right.
Department means give me a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2015, $2.3 million was given to the Department of Gender and Family Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that should have been for programs, and the programs would be divided between men and women.
Exactly.
So there is a male's desk. Thank you, caller or texter.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Mr.
Yes.
Henry Johnson, 397-8600. Please contact him for any program you have for men and boys.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. So it's there.
Right, and that was the impetus, right, for the shift in the name. was understanding two things, that to reduce violence against women and girls, we have to raise up men. We have to concern ourselves with the status of men and how they live in. We have to determine if we think men are the perpetrators, what is the root cause of violence in their lives,
exactly.
Right? And then when we do this work, I think for me as an advocate, what we come to realize is that men can be and are often victims of the same systems that perpetuate violence against women and girls, right?
Yes.
And so I know that people are, you know, prone to approach it in this sort of dualistic way.
Yes.
What, women, what about the men?
Yeah.
But the work in and of itself requires us to take care and look into the lives of men to see what they need. If we think that men are acting out in violence, before we punish, we say, why?
Exactly.
When, why do we think men and why are men doing these things?
Minister Campbell always says to us, he said, he's sorry, he's not Dr. Higgs. I know you're on here with all these women and you all doing a good job. He say, but you better try and save Adam for Eve. You try to help the women, but you have to work with the men as well. And so we do have Mr. Johnson working with them.
Yes.
And so the men, the two men who called, I, God knows my heart was touched by their comments, what they said. I'm watching you, young Mr. Thompson, here with us, and I want to say to the men of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, God bless you. We thank you for your leadership. We are asking God to give you the wisdom to recognize that you have wives, but first of all, mothers. Mothers are sacred. You have wives. You have significant other women in your lives. You have daughters. You have nieces, and so we ask, you have grandmothers who toiled. We're asking you to please simply work along with the women. I'm not bullying. My son said, Mommy, don't you go there, because he know I, but I'm a teacher. When I talk like a schoolmaster or mistress.
Yeah.
And so it's love.
Yes.
Let us work together, please, so that the Commonwealth of the Bahamas can really soar and do well and reduce the crime, reduce the rape, because rape is not, it's not a, that's a serious thing to have as one of the highest in the Caribbean.
Oh,
it is.
I see we got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, good morning again,
good morning.
Dr. Higgs and Mrs. Erin Green. I want to commend you all for this show this morning. It is so powerful and enlightening and very encouraging. Not only for the women, but for all of the young children, the young girls, the young ladies that are coming up that we are mentoring. And let us continue to do so. Let us not get weary and well-doing. Doc, you're doing a wonderful job. And God continually to bless you. This is your sister, Marcia.
God bless you,
good
Honorable.
Good morning. Thank you.
Erin, I want to announce something on this show.
Go on.
I'm just led to do so. So I have a contract. And the contract, 2 years, a year first and 2 years.
Right.
And so then there's discussion whether we need to renegotiate to go into another term. I am declining to go back. So I have about 3 more months in office.
Wow.
And people, please, those of you who are out there, know me well. I'm 55. She said 45. And Thompson, I even asked how old you are.
Yeah.
I just love the beauty in terms of the age.
Yeah.
Know that the God who has guided Jacinta to this point. Know that the husband who every step, as a matter of fact, he was the politician. I was just the front face for the Fox Hill. He was behind the scene. People went to him and not to me.
Wow,
I was just the one on their trial. I'm saying that to say, I am not going away. I am simply wanting to work more with civil society Bahamas.
Yes.
I've already done private.
Yes.
And I'm making no big net profit. I'm telling you, schools don't make money.
No.
But as I know, but private, I now know but government. I already see what happened all over the world. So now I want to go with civil society to strengthen that arm, okay?
Yes. Right. Don't mind me as I make plans to hijack Dr. Jacinta Higgs in my school of policy creation. Don't tell nobody. That's a secret project.
My God.
You got another caller. Caller, you got the last word. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin.
Good morning.
And good morning to Dr. Jacinta Higgs. Erin, this is the best show. I mean, you have some good shows, right? But this one today.
Thank you.
And powerful guests you have there. And Dr. Higgs, I applaud you for a woman of God for standing and exposing and for letting us all know that everyone has a right to whatever's available to share for one and all.
Yes, ma'am.
Stay the course I'll be keeping you covered in prayer. You met me before. I'll send you a side note.
God bless you. God bless you, woman of God. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that.
Dr. Jacinta Higgs, thank you for joining me today. Darwin,
thank you for joining me today.
That's my theme music. That means Levi and Miller with Unleashed is up next at 11. You've been tuned into 96.9 FM. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. when we aim to prep you for your holiday break. Things you could do with your children when you don't want to turn on your AC or your electricity. Have a great day, Bahamas. You're listening to 96.9 FM, Guardian Talk Radio.